Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, February 8th, 2021. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website as we do for all the AAC, BRS, and MAS meetings. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call. Please note that you can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six. You can press star six again to mute you or unmute yourself. If you would like to make some comments, you can raise virtual hands by pressing star nine. And if you press star nine again, that will lower your virtual hands. Everyone joining through video, if you click on the participants list at the bottom, you would see a hand icon and you can click on that to raise or virtual or lower your virtual hands. That indicates me that you would like to make a comment and then I can take everyone's names in order of their hands. To speak, to mute or unmute yourself, you can click on the speaker icon and that will allow you to either speak or not. We do have interpreters on the call with us. I would request everyone who speaks, please state your name first. It helps them do their job well. It helps everyone joining through the video, through the audio call. Anyone listening to the recorded audio, it also helps them knowing who is speaking. And I do welcome one speaker at a time. Thank you in advance for that. Anyone looking to make public comments, please do let me know now. And send me a chat message so that I can put you on the list. I would go ahead and take a roll call of the members. So please state your presence. Elver Ariza Silva.
Juan.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles? I do see Vanessa on the call.
5.
Rico Dancy?
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher?
All right, this is Vanessa, present.
Thank you, Vanessa, I have you listed. Melanie Jackson.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Mary Kay McMahon.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Anthony Oberg. Anthony will be joining us soon. He did email me about that. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaford. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simonov?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. And I see Deborah is joining us now, so I will mark her present. That concludes the roll call for today's Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting. I will go ahead and read the agenda for the record. We just completed the roll call and welcomed everyone to the meeting. Now we will, after I read the agenda, we will go through review and approval of the agenda for today's meeting. And we will review and approve last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we have guest speakers giving us information about Metro Improvement Project Spring 2021. We may have Mr. Hamby with us. He has a schedule conflict today, unfortunately. But we already have Tatiana Kudrykova with us, Nick Perfeli, Jamisha Peterson. They'll be giving us information about the platform improvement project. At 4:30, we have occupancy predictions update. Occupancy predictions, and Jordan Hall and Ms. Carol Pareto Lopez will be giving us information on that. At 4:50, we have PIDS proposed updates. Chief Asante and Malik Shah will be giving us information about that topic. At 5:15, we have the ombudsman report. 5:30 is the public comment section. And 5:40, we have a section for new business and work plan. 6 p.m., the meeting will adjourn. That was the agenda for today's meeting. At this point, I will ask Chair Calabia to move the meeting forward. Chair Calabia, you have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
Any objections to the agenda? Not hearing any, but we have the agenda. The prior meeting minutes, we did do it briefly last meeting, last AAC meeting. We had talked with Ms. Bowersox about 508 complaints regarding the kind of paperwork she deals with, and also Christian mentioned that there is a procurement process out, and that we may have, at this point, maybe within the next month, someone talking about that from the persons who are dealing with the procurement. We also heard from Northern Virginia Transit authorities regarding their bus services. We also even learned that there's an autonomous electric shuttle in Northern Virginia, which I never knew about. In any event, that was an overview of what we actually discussed about the draft minutes last meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes? Steve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Any objections to the minutes? Not hearing anyone object. We have approved the minutes. The first item on the agenda is Metro Improvement Project, and Tatiana Kudrykova is here with us. Jim Hamry is away, so Tatiana, can you start off that item, please? Is Tatiana? I thought she was with us. Oh, you're muted. Tatiana, you're muted.
Would you like me to show your presentation?
Trying to unmute myself.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, excellent. Sorry. I was like clicking the button and still showing that I'm muted. Sorry about this. Now I need to.
Tatiana, while you're getting settled, Ms. Rush, I see your hand up. Did you have a question or comment?
Unfortunately, my buttons at the bottom of the screen, none of them works. I can't share my screen. I have the presentation, but it wouldn't.
Okay, give me a.
Is there any chance?
I have my screen. If you let me share screen, I can show it.
You should be able to show your numbers now.
You have it.
Let me know if I need to share my screen.
Yeah, we can see the front page.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we can start off by good afternoon, everybody. My name is Tatiana Kochikova, and I'm a senior program manager for Platform Rehabilitation Program. I just want to remind everybody that it's the 20 outdoor platforms that Metro have to reconstruct the platform edge over a 3-year period. It's been extended to 4-year period due to the Metro decided to operate the shuttle services better, so without the major impact to the jurisdictions and the region. That's why it's been extended by a year. Other than that, we're still on schedule. Over at 20 stations, we have completed 11 so far. Here we are going to rebuild 6 stations. And then last year we have 5 stations, but 2 of which is only going to be a station modernization work. New facilities to upgrade new facilities such as information displays, customer bathrooms, and so on and so forth, but excluding the platform. And the 3 stations still where we're going to rebuild the platforms. Can we move on to the next slide, please? So this slide, it was the same slide that we shared with you last time because our scope of work is the same across all 20 stations. So as I mentioned, we're going to rebuild the platform edge of the platform, new slip-resistant tile, bigger information displays. So with bigger lettering, bigger screens, brighter, so people and customers see better the information that we communicate to everybody. An improved passenger PIDs, not the PIDs, sorry, the announcement system. So that is also going to be improved, which will provide clear and concise communication with not much echo. So it's much more louder and improved sound of the system. And of course, all of those facilities are ADA compliant. The difference is going forward in the last couple of years of the program, which is, I don't believe it's mentioned in this particular slide, but we're going to provide new assets that called areas of safe dispersal. That came from a fire marshal department from the fire safety. It's an evacuation area outside of the platform limits in case there is an emergency and emergency, say, in the mezzanine level, and then customers are not able to evacuate through the mezzanine level. So there will be an area of safe dispersal where customers can evacuate through the platform. And just to reiterate that this particular new asset is going to be ADA compliant. Any questions before we move on to the next slides?
Yeah, Tatiana, this is Phil Posner. Question about the shelters. We've had a great discussion about the height of the benches. And the ADA bench is very, very low to permit transfer from wheelchairs. But some people who have muscular weakness have great difficulty getting up from those benches. And the question is, have you kept it at that very low level, or have you met a middle standard so that both people that are tall and short can get on and off? And on the figure, I also did not see any sort of a hand support at the end of the bench so that you can help pull yourself up off of the bench, which is the thing we had requested.
So I have not heard this feedback before, that there was an issue with the height of the benches or about the support for to assist customers to pull themselves up from the bench. So Carol Lopez,
Carol, let me add to this. This issue was brought up for the bus shelters.
Oh, it's a bus shelters. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, actually, we brought it up for the platform renovations that were done going out of the airport last year. We were told it was too late and nothing was going to be done. And we were hoping that when we moved on to the next set, someone might possibly listen to us.
There has been no change. It's very difficult to change this the standards immediately, Phil, as you know, because things are programmed way ahead of time. But the design of these benches, it was my understanding that these benches, when you're waiting for a train, you're not waiting as long as when you're waiting for a bus. So this is not, there's several ranges in the ADA which are compliant. We have asked them to place the bench at the highest standard, which is 19 inches above the finished floor.
But the other thing I would ask, and I can say I wait 30 minutes for a train quite often. That's a long time. If it's possible, because there's a enclosure on the side of the structure, if there's some way to put a lift bar on there, similar to what you would put in a shower, it could be attached to that wall so that people would have some way to help them to get up out of that seat. Otherwise, they're trapped. And this is older people as well as people with disabilities. It's just very difficult to get up out of those benches. And possibly not everybody would benefit from a grab bar, because some people have true muscle weakness and they can't pull themselves up. But some people do have enough strength, and a grab bar of the type that you find in a shower would be very, very helpful at one end of the bench to help them get up.
Okay. We can make a note, right, Carol, but not all of our stations that have windshield shelters on the platform. So National Airport, as you mentioned, is actually a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not have any wind shelters.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Okay, yeah, this is Chris Blake. A couple of things. I noticed it back in Baltimore, and I see it's over here. The grab bars that Dr. Posner is recommending, I personally am not opposed to it, but I know that at least on the bus benches, they were discouraged because we didn't want people to be comfortable and laying down. Now, station, I guess, is a little different, but I wanted to ask Dr. Phil about that concern. Is that a concern? Is that something where you would find the possibility of a person stretched out and pretty comfortable on the bench? And that's one reason that is not there, or do you feel those instances would be so far and few and in between that the benefit of the grab bars would outweigh those potential instances?
No, actually, it's the other way around. If you put a grab bar in the middle of the bench and a grab bar at the end of the bench, people wouldn't be able to lay down on the bench.
Oh, you're talking about in the middle. I got you. Okay.
At the middle and at the end. So that they can get up, either a grab bar or a hang strap or, you know, something they could hold on to help either push them up or pull them up. If you put it on the bench, and in some of the airports, that's the way they separate the benches. They have those little U-shaped bars that sort of separate the seats along a bench. And that would stop people from sleeping on the bench, and it would give somebody something to push off of when they tried to stand up. If you had a hang strap or some sort of a shower type bar on the end, then they'd have something that they could pull themselves up by. So you'd either push off or pull up, depending upon which muscle group has any strength at all to get off the bench.
Okay, and you know, I never make promises, but we'll follow up, and I'm sure Carol and I will discuss with the project team and just see what's possible.
And also, just as we go forward, Anu and presenter, please describe in more vivid details the images on each slide, please. Thank you.
And then also, with regards to addressing this particular issue, as Carol mentioned, we are at the very advanced phase in terms of the design development, and the contract has been awarded for phase three, the one that I'm going to talk through a lot today. And we are actually starting execution in a couple of weeks' time. However, I wouldn't say that it's not possible to address this type of issue during the phase four of the platform improvement program. Or again, so the installation of those handles, it's if we as an agency, something decided to take forward. So I think it should be straightforward installation that can be taken care of by the maintenance. But again, I will let Carol take this.
We will certainly let architecture know of the request and let them know the reasons for the request.
Thank you. That will make Elver happy, and that will make Mary Kay happy, because she wants a bench that's low enough that she can get up out of, and Elver wants one high enough that it can sit on and get out of.
Tatiana, this is Anu. We do have a couple of members who have their hands up for questions. Did you want to go ahead and finish your presentation and take rest of the questions at that point?
I think if they have a question in regards to the scope, yeah, we should take them now.
Sure. Vanessa, you had your hand up, so go ahead and raise your question.
Yes, yes. Mr. Blake did address it. I needed a description, because when you talked about the emergency exit or whatever that was, I wanted to get an idea where that is, or how you would find it as a blind individual.
Yeah, that is a very good question. I'm trying to remember.
Hi, this is Carol Lopez again. It was the question on how we would you would find it, the areas of refuge. The areas of refuge are all identified at the end of the platforms, and it's all in raised lettering and Braille. And people who... when we do customer travel training, we would go through these sort of situations. However, these areas of refuge are in case of serious emergencies. So there would be announcements and direction from the station managers and WMATA employees to evacuate to those areas. It actually says that it's only for personnel who are allowed to go back there, and it's only for emergency, and they're at the end of the platforms. Not all our stations have them, but those who do are clearly marked by the gate.
And I would like to supplement this by what Carol have just said. So our internal procedures, so if there is an emergency of this magnitude, like I said, so that if the passengers will not be able to evacuate through the mezzanine level, so there will be a competent staff, i.e. a station manager, and most likely there will be an emergency services on the platform assisting passengers to evacuate through the areas of safe refuge. Therefore, if an individual passenger will be... it will be blind, so typically they would stay and raise their arm to identify they have vision problem, and then the competent member of staff will assist them to proceed to the area of safe refuge.
So if I'm in a situation, there's smoke in the cars and everybody's running out, so I'm going to need to know what I can do, because nobody's going to stop and help me. Everybody's going to run for their life. I mean, maybe we'll have somebody nice enough to help But I mean, I would like to have some more clarification on that.
When you were on the train, well, that's what I'm saying. So if you are on the train and train travels, so if the smoke will occur while the train is in motion, so the train most likely will try to proceed to the nearest platform, where then all the passengers will be assisted to be evacuated. And typically emergency services are trained to go through smoked carriages to ensure there is nobody left.
Yeah.
So I have to wait till someone can discover that I'm still there trying to figure out where to go.
Well, Ms. Coles, this is Carol Lopez. The reality is there would be announcements to say the station entrance is not available. Please go to the areas of refuge. The areas of refuge are at the end of the platform. And if someone needs assistance and is able to ask someone, which way do we go? One can go in that direction. There will be help. People usually in evacuation processes throughout the United States in every building, that's how it goes. Somebody helps somebody who cannot or is not aware of how to get out, helps them to evacuate. And that's how we have this is done. Currently, these stations have existed all along, and now we're just adding an additional level of safety, and we hope that this will work. Everyone's gonna get training on how to help people evacuate. And remember that a lot of these things are safety features that we're adding on top of what already exists. If you were anywhere in the world, anywhere other than the metro station, how would you leave the space and go to safety? Most people communicate with others and then they leave or they go another direction.
But I wouldn't be under the tunnel and trapped in a tunnel, though.
This is an area of safe dispersal. So it's another place within the station where you could go if something's happening, for example, at the escalators or at the elevators.
Thank you.
We can provide additional information about this. When it comes up, we can provide additional information for sure.
Thank you.
We can discuss it.
I know we have more questions, keeping in mind about the time sensitivity. Tatiana, I would ask if you would finish your presentation.
Okay.
And afterwards, we can take questions. Thank you.
Okay. So now we're going on to rail. So we're going to start this Friday, the shutdown at Edison Road and Arlington Cemetery for the period of 3 months. Arlington Cemetery Station will be closed. There will be no through traffic through the station for the period of 3 months. And Edison Road Station will be closed for the period of 3 months, but trains will bypass the station single track into continuous service all the way to Largo. And during the summer shutdown that will start in the Memorial Day weekend, four stations after the Fort Thornton will be closed. All trains will terminate at Fort Thornton. And then we will resume normal service September 6th. I think September 7th is the Tuesday after the Labor Day. So 7th is when we're going to resume normal service. Any questions about the rail service during the
Yeah, this is Phil Posner again, and the question I have is, what happened last time when we had the major shutdowns with Metro Access, whether people will be able to apply for temporary Metro Access to get to places where the shuttles are too complicated for them to figure out what's going on, and the same thing for the billing, whether there will be any billing for Metro Access rides through areas that or shut down.
Nick Perfilli, have you called in yet?
This is Carol again. I believe that what is happening for this shutdown is we're using metro buses for the shuttles. I might be corrected once Nick comes, but it was my understanding that it's going to be.
This is Jamisha. I'm the planning manager for shuttle buses, and that's correct. We will be using a metro bus, so we won't need the contractors to have ADA vans because we are going to be using the metro bus.
Well, the question was for the blind individuals that usually travel the route from rail, where the buses will be located, where the buses will be dropping them off, and then actually getting them to their locations, their businesses or their shops or what have you. Because last time that was a problem for some of our blind customers.
So I can answer that, Phil. So yes, customers, because right now, as you know, we're granting presumptive eligibility for everyone while the offices are closed of our eligibility office. And that's going to be going on probably for a little while, even after the pandemic, due to having to catch up with all these customers. So as the projects begin, customers, because environment is part of the eligibility criteria. If you have a disability that's impacted by the environment, i.e. inaccessible public transit, that's a reason why you can become eligible. So that part is not going to be a problem. Eligibility for people who apply would not be a problem. The second part of your question is a little more tricky, though, and this is what we found the last time and why not every trip was a free trip, because what happens is if you're taking a trip on Metro Access, it's highly unlikely, but it's just like if you're on fixed route. If you're taking a trip within the area where the shuttle is running for free, i.e., I should see the station, Greenbelt to College Park. I'm just throwing out an example. Then a Metro Access trip, because that would not be a easy trip for a person who's blind or low vision, perhaps, that would be a free trip because that's within the free shuttle zone. But generally speaking, if you're getting on at Greenbelt, while it's certainly possible your destination is College Park, most likely you're going to West Hyattsville, or you're going to downtown DC, or you're going to other places. So if you're going beyond the area that's under construction, that would not be a free trip per se.
Okay, yeah, so between Greenbelt and West Hyattsville, it would be. In addition to the blind group, I think we might also want to contact the cognitively challenged group that has been through travel training. Because again, their travel training includes these stations. And the training folks will probably know who they have trained or which community organizations are training people. And if there are folks that are being trained to travel in the closed area, they need to be alerted as to the alternate ways to get around.
We agree.
Thank you.
And then, so may I ask you a question? So when you typically look for an information in terms of the Metro access and the shuttle bus replacement for during the period of shutdown, so what would be your main source of information for this kind of things?
There are three things that Paul Semmelfort usually recommends. Number one is information on the IVR. That's the phone call-in. Second one is on the website, easily accessible and upfront on the website. And then the third one, we have a group of community service organizations like the Lighthouse that would typically inform their membership as to what's available. And we have a number of groups that are doing travel training for WMATA. And so informing them, they know who they have travel trained and who they can inform. But I think those are the three that Paul always recommends. And Denise is on the phone, so if she wants to chime in, she might add.
Denise, No, the reason I was asking this is that because, yes, Jamisha is on the call, and as well as our communication team, who make sure that all our customers get the right level of information. And it's, we appreciate the comments, so to make sure that we provide the right level of information in the right place for you guys. So to avoid the confusion during the shutdown of this, what you just gave us examples of.
No, terrific. Thank you. That would be so good.
So thank you for the feedback. Is there any other questions before we move on?
Okay, so I have a couple of people who have their hand up. Darnese Bush, followed by Doris Ray, followed by Steve Caffin. So please go ahead and take a quick moment to make your comments and questions.
Hey, I had a couple of comments. One is, will the shuttles be wheelchair accessible or mobility impaired accessible? You know, with lifts and things like that, so that people that use chairs or people that have limited mobility on the reconstruction or whatever will be able to ride the shuttles that are available. And the other comment is just a comment, a follow-up for what Phil said about in a lot of the parks, they have metal benches that are perforated, but they have seat dividers, and it has a handrail built in as a loop at the end of each seat. Like if it's a long, like it's maybe a 48-inch bench or so, and it's made out of metal, and they have like three handrails on it. Three looped over handrails at each end and in the middle. So if someone was sitting there, they could just push down on that and or pull up on that to get up. And also in the parks too, the concrete ones also have something that's built so that you can push up on those. I don't know what type of material you're using for the platform benches. You should be able to have some kind of divider accessible for people to push up on.
Okay, so the first question was about the buses accessibility.
Yes.
So all of Metro buses, the ADA compliant buses, so and since, as Demisha mentioned, so that we are going to use Metro buses too for the bus replacement service during the 6-month shutdown. So yes, yes is the answer to your first question. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but the recollection of the rest of your questions was mainly about the barriers for the or the pull-ups railing for the seating. And as Carol mentioned, we will take it away and then talk to the architects. However, your question, the materials that we use, it's the grass. So all of the benches on the platforms are granite made. So it's a granite top, which is, like I said, it's not impossible to add the rail or like a handle, but it's something that we have to take through to the design control board and the architect department before we come to the final solution. Did I answer all your questions?
Yes, it is. I just had one more comment. If it's smoke or something, if it's some type of fire or anything like that, they will ask people that need assistance to remain seated. And we are the last people that are assisted. So we would have to sit through the smoke and everybody else getting off and wait for someone to come and help us.
This is Carol Lopez. If there is a fire, and people need to be evacuated, they will help everyone evacuate at the same time. If you are able to mobilize, are you talking about within a train?
Yes, I'm talking about the train.
So let's go back because I'm looking now. You know, they've given us different computers, so I don't have everything right at my grasp. But I was looking for the emergency brochure that we did because it really gave the directions there. And I'm trying to remember what it says. but Ms. Bush and there are others on here prior to the principal position AAC members have taken in terms of not participating in those emergency drills as a result of the waiver, but some of you have participated. And can you give us just very briefly, because we do have a packed agenda, because I think Ms. Cole's raised a good question though. Can you give us a brief statement as to when you were doing the training, the emergency evacuation, and they were replicating a fire, what did they say do? What were the instructions that you received as a customer who happened to have a disability?
Chris, what has happened to make some confusion is when they changed the emergency signs on the rail to make them smaller to occupy space, they changed the wording. But on the original wording is if you are in an assisted mobility device, wheelchair, stay there, we'll come get you. On the new devices, they don't mention the wheelchairs. They just talk about large items like luggage and you're considered luggage. But the bottom line is they will come get you, but you're not the first to go because obviously the people that have mobility will walk off. And if you're in a wheelchair or a mobility device, you have to wait for someone to lift you out of that chair and get you on one of the transport pieces of equipment. If you're on a rail, if you're just getting out onto the platform, then they have to get you out onto the platform. So when they change the signs, they don't really spell it out, but under the old system, that's the way they handled it. You sit there and they promise they'll get you.
Yeah, and that's also for people that have guide dogs that are blind as well, or anybody with any type of adaptive equipment or disability that would need physical assistance.
Okay. I think that may be the case based on that description. However, it's the function on how to do this. If you have a crowded if you have people there, you can't, somebody has to get to you. I don't think that it's the last person that leaves. I think the whole signage thing had to do with the fact that if they're going to evacuate you, you might have to be evacuated by getting help versus somebody carrying a power chair. I think that was the idea of the sign, that we can't move a whole chair out. They will help the person out.
Yeah, they do help the person.
That was the whole reason why that old sign used to say wheelchair stay in. I don't think the wheelchair was the person in the wheelchair was what they were talking about.
No, they did not want the wheelchair in the way of people trying to evacuate. The person was lifted from the wheelchair and put on the specialty carts and taken out.
Yeah,
right.
That
was the whole thing about the sign. It didn't mean that person leaves last.
Right, and that's one of the reasons that I have complained for the last 7 years as to why they should not have the wheelchair sites by the center door. I won't bring that up tonight.
Okay, the next person who has a question is Doris Ray, followed by Steve Caffin and Debbie Fisher. Doris, go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yes, am I unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I just wanted to make sure. First, with regard to the issue of the benches brought up by Phil, with all deference to Mr. Blake and the staff, frankly, those of us who live on the Orange Line, live or work on the Orange Line, and perhaps the Green Line and the Yellow Line, place, you know, routes that go further out, we have to wait so long for a train sometimes, especially in the current environment, that the temptation to lie down and go to sleep is great. But with that said, really, I think most people aren't going to lay down and go to sleep on the benches. And I personally think that it is imperative that Metro find a way to get grab bars or other similar devices designed so that somebody can pull themselves up and get to a train. Because once that train gets to the station and you don't get to that door in time, you're there maybe for a half an hour or longer. So I think it's imperative throughout that we take care of that issue, and soon. Even I, people who are aging and seniors, a lot of people are going to appreciate having something like that. And then with regard to the area of rescue and other issues of that nature, I think, number one, that there have to be absolutely clear announcements telling us what to do, saying something over, like if you're on the train where you can might be able to hear an announcement. If you don't say, go to the end of the platform at the elevator, near the elevator side of the station, or near the tunnel side, or wherever it's going to be, we're not going to know. And with all due respect, it's not like an emergency exercise. It's more like when if there's a real emergency, it's going to be more like people getting off the train at Vienna at rush hour trying to get up to their bus and trying to knock you over, trying to get out of the station and or to get ahead of you. Or it's going to be something like Metro Center at rush hour. So I think once there's danger, people are just going to react. So that means that blind and vision impaired people, or anybody else, like people with ID or brain injuries who have cognitive issues, we need to know beforehand. And that means we need materials, and I think that the brochure on emergency situations is kind of out of date now in a way. We need to know where we're going to go and have that well in advance, to have it in our mind, so that when the emergency comes up, we don't even have to worry about that. And the last thing is about getting the word out. I think getting the word out to natural supportive services like the Lighthouse or the Centers for Independent Living, like ECNV, is very good. But I think we need to also have a now that you're going to set up a new thing, these areas of rescue, you need to do some kind of media blitz on this so that people can hear it on the radio or announcements in the news on TV or on social media, so that we know in advance. Because if we know in advance, then we'll respond, have an immediate response. So that's my comments. Okay.
Thank you, Doris.
Steve?
Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Two very quick comments, and then I have a question for Tatiana. First, with respect to the speaker system, that's very important. Particularly the echo in many of the stations makes it almost impossible to hear the messages, and many of them are emergency messages or train changes, and they really, so that echo should be looked at carefully. And may I suggest training, or the next training for the station operators to actually learn learn and practice how to make an announcement, which needs to be done much more slowly and perhaps more articulately than one would normally speak because of the nature of the environment. Second, I believe Metro needs to provide more benches in the stations. I noticed that there are benches towards the middle of the stations, but not at the ends where the escalators are, and where many people, once they arrive, just need to sit down for, you know, given the nature of our service, up to 15 minutes to wait for a train. I always thought the issue might be people, as Mr. Blake, as you mentioned, people getting perhaps too comfortable, but that can be handled by just partitioning the benches perhaps into three. And I find myself always looking for the one or perhaps two benches on a station. And that might be, Caltiana, that might be something to look at. But the question, and the question I have for you deals with the PDSs. Why they differ for Metro Rail and Metro Bus. The Metro Rail has, I believe, three or four individual line items, and they turn over about every two or three seconds, while the Metro Bus PDSs run two lines and turn over every 7 seconds. It would seem to be more efficient in procurement to try to get the two synchronized and make one acquisition. And that's my question. Tatiana, do you know why they're different systems?
So not necessarily, but unfortunately, our rail passenger information or the announcement system is not linked with the bus. So it's two different systems. And typically the frequency is dictated by each individual department and then what they announce to. I agree that makes sense that they should probably link. I mean, if there is a shutdown, which we are trying to do, so we do have a pilot study in the background to make sure that the announcements or the message on that screen match to what is actually happening with the shutdown. But there, like I said, it's a pilot. But in the real life, I'm not sure of the benefits if you're going to link the bus with the rail messaging, because if there is no shutdown, because typically when there is a shutdown, so a bus replacement service match rail service.
Right. So what I was talking about is the actual PDS systems that you were describing as an item that's being looked at. The PDS systems that announce the number of minutes before the arrival of the train. Is a different system, different pieces of information, and also running at a different frequency than the buses. And I was wondering why, and if efficiencies from a procurement standpoint could result from perhaps trying to synchronize the two.
I mean, I'm not sure if I could take it away and look into it, but I'm not sure there are benefits of linking the two together unless there is a shutdown. That's exactly what I said. But in terms of the echo, yes, this is one of the items that we are looking into improve the quality of the passenger announcement. And so we as an agency do recognize the quality of the announcement is the best. Hence why we are trying to move towards automated messaging system. So the messaging is slower and more clearer rather than it's done by an individual.
One quickie. Do you handle the actual PDS information, or is that a different department? That's different.
I do not. So, like I said, so the bus control center and the rail control center is two different operation centers.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, okay. Tatiana.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher, you have a question, so go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you. My question is staff trained to work with folks with autism and also others with psychiatric conditions in emergency situations, or even in a situation where a station is closed and they need to be rerouted? Because it strikes me that, as people may well be aware, those folks have a very hard time when there's a disruption of their routine. And when they've been travel trained, even if they've been trained for an emergency, they're not typically well equipped to handle those sudden changes. So I'm wondering about that.
All staff, this is Carol Lopez. All staff are required to sensitivity training for people with disabilities. This is bus operators and train operators and station managers. And of course, our police force also is trained has sensitivity training to dealing with people with disabilities.
But is there actual training that focuses more specifically on this population that really has a hard time? In some cases, they get so frightened that it's hard to move them. And those are when pretty unfortunate situations arise. There have been too many examples to recount of people getting injured because there is a very specific skill set involved with working with this population of folks.
Yeah. Well, I could look into that to see specifically if that aspect of it is covered. It's more, it is covered, but it's not focused on it, but I could look into that and get back to the committee.
I think that would be helpful because those are the circumstances where it only has to happen one time and it frightens everybody.
About a year ago, somebody from Metro Transit Police received an award because of his efforts in helping a young mother with a child with autism.
Right, right.
And you're aware of that. So
yes, that was wonderful.
Attributed that to his training. So I'm sure we cover it, but I need to find out and I can report back to the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Tatiana, so back to you about remaining of the presentation if you have.
There isn't that much left. I thought there was another slide about the frequency of the buses. So the frequency of the buses, they will be further down. So this slide is just to...
Just looking for the time. Yeah, the shuttle service information, is that the slide you want?
Because the other slide was just showing where the shutdown is going to take place, which I did mention that the blue line, Edison Road and Arlington Cemetery are going to start as of this Saturday, February 13th, and it will stay out, those stations will stay out of service until May 23rd, 24th, it will go back to normal service. That was just a reminder. And then go back to the frequency of the shuttle bus. So here that is. Shuttle bus service will match what the rail service would have been if the station would be open. And it will continue for the period of 3 months. And I think we did talk quite extensively.
I have one question for the rail service, particularly Arlington Cemetery. During certain days like Memorial Day, during 4th of July, when you might expect a lot of visitors to be going to Arlington Cemetery, will they increase the service?
Go ahead, Morgan.
So this is Morgan Basford. I work on the communications team. So Arlington Cemetery will be reopened by Memorial Day, so there shouldn't be an issue with that. And I know Jamisha can probably talk a little bit more, but they do have strategic buses placed to be able to deploy to certain locations if necessary to meet the demand at whatever station there might be increased demand at.
No, that's super. Thank you. Particularly during the summer when it's really hot.
Yes.
But we're planning to reopen the station prior to the Memorial Day.
Thank you.
So that's just a little bit. One of the additional information that I have not mentioned was about the limited outside station facilities once the shutdown starts. So at Arlington Cemetery, we do not have any outside station facilities. Everything is belong to either Arlington Cemetery or National Park Service. And the only thing we do take over is that some of the parking along the Memorial Avenue in terms of Edison Road. So the Kiss and Ride section have been partially taken out of service. And there is only one set of parking spots is available, as well as the ADA parking on the side of the Kiss and Ride. So, and then it's also become as a one-way traffic system. And then we have placed all the signs in place. Then also the pedestrian walk outside of the Edison Road station. So that's shrinked, but again, it is ADA compliant. And in terms of the parking in the parking garage, as you all know, typically we try to make it free during the shutdown, and Edison Road parking garage will be free for the duration of the shutdown. And there will be reduced availability, but it's only gonna be on the ground floor, so it shouldn't really impact that much for the customers. Yeah, and then this is the summary page for where we are going to provide all the updates. And I don't know, Morgan, would you like to add anything in terms of the information for the project?
No, I don't think so. We're still using WMATA.com/platforms as the place that we upload all the information about the webpage. And that's been consistent over the past few years.
That's the end of the presentation. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, one thing, I typically get an email with updates on the platform service, and I assume there's a place you sign up for that that it would be good to know, because I usually forward it to the committee, but.
Yes, that sign up form is up on the website as well. And if you've signed up for updates last year, there was an email sent out, I believe in October or November, asking if you would like to receive updates for this summer and to re-sign up that way. So if you're not getting them, we haven't sent any out yet for this spring, but you can also just re-sign up and double check to make sure you're in there. And that's for anybody in the committee as well. You can click the sign up for updates button on our website.
No, that's super. And general public also, to get them, you know, on board so they know what's happening, because they're really useful. I found them very useful.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, Morgan, Jamisha, Tatiana, for all the information that you have shared about this project improvements. And I know we have gone way over our schedule. So thank you, everyone, for coming, sharing the information, and for the few next presenters who have been waiting patiently. And I'm sure if you have any further questions, I will be sure to email them to you for responses for any questions that we may get later on.
Is this mine?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jordan, thank you for waiting.
No problem.
We have Jordan Holt and Karen Paredo Lopez. They are going to talk about occupancy predictions.
I am just going to introduce Jordan. We asked her to visit us today, and she's the director of performance, WMATA's director of performance. And we asked her to discuss occupancy predictions for both Metrobus and Metro Rail vehicles. Ms. Holt's particular information is important because